Blog Talk Radio.
Yep. Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known, if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. And we have Larry for sure. And Steve, are you with us?
I am. I hope I'm coming in okay now.
A little better. Yeah, it's a little better. We're having all kinds of phone troubles. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm just along for the ride here.
Yeah. Larry, are you with us? Yeah, believe it or not, Larry's here for this show. I'll tell you what, this is really going on. Why don't we start, Steve, in case you drop off or we have phone, with your latest update on, it's very fascinating to me, the stuff you found, particularly with Obama and the announcement from the White House by the Republicans, think I'm Antichrist, and it reminded me of the Lord saying, well, who do you think that I am? Who do you say that I am? Anyway, do you want to give us an update?
That's great, yeah. Well, last time I was on, we talked about the timeline of Barack Obama from his Nobel Peace Prize and how it was on the Seventh Day of Tabernacles that he received the Nobel Peace Prize in 2009, and then if we add the timeline according to Daniel, 1260 days, he went to Israel. He signed an unbreakable alliance, which means covenant of the peoples. He went to the holiest place in Christendom, which was the birthplace of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, the Church of the Nativity Grotto, which according to Daniel is the sanctuary fortress, exactly as Daniel described it in the book of Daniel. And then from there, we had 1,290 days, and Barack Obama was again in Israel for the funeral of Shimon Peres. But that brings us to the Feast of Trumpets in 2016, and this detail had escaped me. I had documented when it happened, and I had made the connection that it was the Feast of Trumpets, but I had forgotten that it was part of the actual timeline. So it was on October 3rd, 2016, that it came out on Fox News. Barack Obama said, the Republicans think I'm the Antichrist. And it's, you know, I made that connection about the biblical scenario when Jesus asked his disciples, you know, who do you think I am?
Well, what's interesting is that that was issued by the White House on that date as well, and just Fox News just picked it up and ran with it.
Right.
So, okay, so from that date, we go 1335, which ends when? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, May 30th, Pentecost, and so we've got the full biblical timeline connected to the Antichrist, Barack Obama, 1,335 days before the final day of Pentecost tomorrow. He said, the Republicans think I'm the Antichrist. And then I did another search. I know that if you take 1,335 days, it's a total of 666 plus 3 plus 666 days. So it's 2 times 666 plus 3 is 1335. Well, anyway, so what I did is I went back 666 days from May 30th, and you wouldn't believe what I found. Okay,
cool.
So, you know, we've been sharing about Barack Obama being the Antichrist since 2013 at least, really came on the scene in 2008, 2009. But now from Pentecost, May 30th, 2020, if you go back 666 days, which is the number of the beast, it brings us exactly to August 4th, 2018. Now, August 4th is the 216th day of the year. That's 6 times 6 times 6. It's the birthday of Barack Obama. But there's an interesting detail in 2018. For those who want to look this up, 2018, August 4th, starting in 2018, became a it became a observed holiday called Barack Obama Day. They took his birthday and they converted it into a holiday in Illinois starting in 2018. So, yeah, from Barack Obama Day, it's 666 days to tomorrow, which is the final day of the timeline, Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow.
Larry, got any questions on that? That sounds fascinating to me.
Well, it does. Again, it dovetails, I think, right back into that experience you had with Lucifer.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there was no question at all. I mean, I asked him, if you know you're Lucifer, don't you? I remember exactly what I asked him. And he said, yes, I know. So I woke up, but the vision was very, very clear, very, very sharp. And I don't usually have those kind of things. I've had a few of them that are really, really kind of detailed. I've never asked anyone to believe they came from the Lord. It may be my imagination, but those kind of things are very, very vivid. And that was one of the most vivid I've had. And oddly enough, he walked in to a room where I was teaching biblical prophecy. So, you know, a good share of the prophecy, really, if you study it out, is concerning the rise of Antichrist in the last days. So it really kind of verified what that was about. And I don't know. Now, what about this dragon thing? This is even more fascinating because here we are coming up on the 30th, and don't the modern Christians celebrate Pentecost on a Sunday? It's always on a Sunday, which would be the 31st, right?
Correct. But in Israel, they start the month of Nisan according to, the first month of the year on the Hebrew calendar is actually started based on the new moon, and then they follow that through to the 14th day of the month. They have Passover, unleavened bread, and then first fruits. So according to the Hebrew calendar, The day after the Sabbath of first fruits is the start of the count. And so the Israel count, a 50-day count, which Pentecost means 50. So a lot of confusion today about all the different ways you're supposed to count Pentecost. And a lot of people say that it goes to, you count 7 weeks plus another 50 days, which is really confusing and really not scriptural. I'll just say that from my point of view, because Pentecost in and of itself means 50. It's the 50th day from unleavened bread. It's not that hard, you know. It shouldn't be that confusing. So in Israel, and what I always say is that Israel is God's clock, where it really matters. You know, and we go back to 2013, to Comet Ison, and how Comet Ison was at its perihelion event on Hanukkah and Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And then we have the blood moons of 2014, 2015. That was all according to the Hebrew calendar. Passover, Tabernacles, Passover, Tabernacles. there was a mid blood moon sign, which was the sackcloth total solar eclipse, which happened, I think it was March 20th of 2015.
And
yep. That turned out to be Nisan 1. That marked the new year. And so the point of this, even looking at the Revelation 12 sign, how that landed with the Feast of Trumpets, the American eclipse, the August 21st, 2017, the American eclipse, that was 40 days before the Day of Atonement, and it marks a 40-day period from the first day of Elul of repentance in preparation for the Day of Atonement. Very, very powerful signs. They're all in accordance with the Hebrew calendar, and this is the calendar that really all the signs mark. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's my point, is that in Israel, they're celebrating Pentecost since yesterday, May 28th, through tomorrow, May 30th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
And this is the actual count of the 1,335 days. Daniel says, blessed is he who comes to the 1,335 days. And we have a connection between the Feast of Trumpets and Pentecost 3.5 years later, 1,335 days, according to the Hebrew calendar in Israel. And that's the connection that I see that makes tomorrow so important.
Now, this Dragon launch, this space thing that they're launching, what's the latest on that? I had heard that they had moved it to tomorrow or to Sunday.
No, it's set for tomorrow. It was set for the 27th. They were not able to take off on the 27th because of bad weather. And so they've rescheduled for May 30th. And the time on the on liftoff is 3:22 p.m., which is the number of Skull and Bones. It's the number of the Georgia Guidestones. And if you just put 3:22 in Google and search images, It takes you directly to satanic images of the Baphomet, of Skull and Bones, and it's a highly ritualistic satanic number within the Illuminati and the Freemasons, 3:22.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to ask you, too, about Ramadan, and I don't have it in front of me, but you said the last 10 days of Ramadan... There was a day in there that they could pick that was a day of power. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? Because with what's going on, it seems like they could call down spirits was one of the things they could do. And all of a sudden, we have all this stuff breaking out everywhere since then.
Right. We were watching the 16th of May, because that lined up with the 80-day birthing ritual we were talking about. We
mm-hmm.
saw the speech of Barack Obama. It was a one-hour show. I only watched it once. There wasn't too much I saw. What I saw within that was the repetition of the phrase, join us, join us, join us. I did some investigating on that. Some people sent me comments about the phrase "join us." If you actually put "join us" in the Google search backwards, which is Suniyot, put it in backwards, Suniyot, join us. Just write it backwards, Suniyot. And there was actually a song written called Suniyot. It's "join us" backwards. And it's invocation to Satan. Satan, join us. Satan, join us. Suniyot, Suniyot. Well, that's also, if you go to ObamaFoundation.org,
mm-hmm.
that's his theme. that's his theme of the of his website is Join Us.
Wow. Well, I did I did a blog on it, and there's a lot more in there than one might think of what he said. Basically, he was promoting the one world government. He was promoting the one world order. There was a lot of satanic stuff in there, as you just said. And I'm going to scroll down and see if I can't pick up on, because I did a blog on it. I listened very carefully, and then I did something on his speech. And he said a lot of stuff in that speech that would go right over most people's heads. And he speaks in code. He's like Trump. Trump is always speaking in code. And there was a lot of...
Storm is coming.
Yes. Yep. And so I was wondering, with the Ramadan, what they do on Ramadan, or what they do on that night of power, or whatever, day of power, whatever you want to call it, one of the things was a spiritual thing. And what I was curious about is, since that time, we've seen an outbreak of all kinds of weird sightings, number one, of UFOs and creatures. We've seen evil rising, and now we've got this deal over here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, that has actually started, I guess, everywhere. I don't know. I just I was very curious that maybe more occurred during that day, the 16th of May, than we realize, and that this has set up a domino effect, a chain reaction. And I don't know. What do you think, Larry?
Well, I would be interested in Steve's opinion on, you know, what you and I were talking about, how that it appears that so many of the American people are so mesmerized, and I'll use that term mesmerized, or hypnotized, or under some kind of spell. They're not even aware of the danger they're in.
Yeah. What do you think, Steve, on that?
Well, as far as Ramadan goes, we were watching the 16th of May, and that was the 23rd day of Ramadan. It was 9/23.
Right.
And you go about 7 days beyond that, you come to the end of Ramadan around May 23rd. So basically, over the last week, then we have the end of Ramadan, and then there's like 7 days brings us to the end of Pentecost on May 30th, May 31st. And, I mean, we know one thing, that whatever is going to happen, Satan is preparing his people, and they're giving all the messages. Right now, they've got everybody prepped for rioting and violence. And, I mean, if it's already begun, can you imagine what will happen once the rapture happens? I mean, if this is the time, I mean, Pentecost, as you say, you know, in your title, it's the Pentecost fire, right? It's the fire of Pentecost. And it's like, it's just unbelievable how it's just everything is being prepared for a revolution, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I found part of what I wrote on what Obama said. Here's a couple of quotes. Along with the usual challenges of growing up, all of you had to deal with added pressures of social media, reports of school shootings, there's a coded word, get the guns, and the specter of climate change. You may remember when he said, you people, that the conservatives, the Christians, cling to their guns and religion. Now, this is something he said later. He said, the world, this is in his speech, the world is turned upside down by a global pandemic. I'm sure you love your parents. I'll bet that being stuck at home with them, and then he goes on, but The key thing here was the world is turned upside down. Again, he's embedding this stuff. So if you go to Isaiah chapter 29, starting at verse 15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? Who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down. So he's addressing these people like Obama and is upside down. Then he makes a comment, I'll bet that being stuck at home with them, that's a very derogatory, very demeaning statement, that you have to stay at home with your outdated and stupid families and their old ways of doing things. The old-fashioned influence. Then he makes this. It also pulled the curtain back on another hard truth, something that we all have to eventually accept once our childhood comes to an end. Then he says, and all those adults that you used to think were in charge and knew what they were doing, again, the old ways, turn out that they don't have all the answers. A lot of them aren't even asking the right questions. So if the world's going to get better, it's going to be up to you. What a slam. What a slam to people. And the family situation. He's slamming the family. He's slamming the parents. He's slamming it all. And then he makes this comment of childhood comes to an end. Do you remember the movie and the book by Arthur C. Clarke at all, Steve?
Hello?
Hello, Steve?
Huh.
I guess we lost him.
Yeah, we must have. Wow.
Well, I remember it, Stuart. I remember that movie well, Childhood's End.
Yes, and, well, he hasn't called back in yet. Oh, we'll have to monitor and see if he calls back in. But, you know, that speech was loaded with satanic overtones. And Childhood's End, remember what they did at the end of it, Larry?
I'm trying to remember.
They gave the kids over to Satan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I think that's what he was referring to. He just embedded it. Childhood's End. Why would he use a phrase like Childhood's End? You just wouldn't use something like that unless you're deliberately coding to people who would know. And, of course, the coming of the New World Order is Satan's order. And it goes along with the arrival, which is what Childhood's End was really all about. It was an arrival. Is he back? Okay. I'll get him back here. See if we can get him back, Larry. Hey, Steve, are you there? Nope, he dropped off again.
That sounds like the trouble I've been having recently, too, that when they knock you out, you're out.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye out and see if he can come back in. I don't know what's going on with all this stuff. It's really bad news.
Is he back in?
Okay. Go back in, see if we can find him. Okay, we'll try again. Steve, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yep, I can hear you now. Yep, you got dropped off. We've been having all kinds of phone troubles. So I guess it is what it is. We were talking about the movie Childhood's End. I don't think you probably heard about that. That was in Obama's speech, The End of Childhood. Do you remember Childhood's End, the book by Arthur C. Clarke?
No, I don't remember that.
Well, anyway, it was about an arrival. And at the end of the movie or the book, the parents give their children over to Satan. Childhood's End was about Satan himself and the arrival. And I think that's why Obama used that. He coded it into his speech that we're going to have to give our children over to Satan. And that speech was only 7 minutes and 56 seconds long, and that had a lot of numeric codes in it. Then he says, with all the challenges this country faces right now, nobody can tell you no, you're too young to understand, or this is how it's always been done. Because with so much uncertainty, with everything suddenly up for grabs, and by the way, that's exactly what George Soros said. Well, everything is up for grabs because of this COVID-19. They're even quoting from the same script. And all those adults that you think that were in charge, what are they doing? Turns out they don't have any of the answers. So there you go. I mean, the speech was actually loaded. Then he says this: leave behind all the old ways of thinking that divide us. Sexism, racial prejudice, status, greed. Set the world on a different path. That speech was such an attack on what are the old ways? Well, Christianity is one of the old ways. The nation-state system is one of the old ways. The system of our Constitution and a Bill of Rights with the 50 states, each sovereign but working together in a unified republic, that's the old way. Capitalism, system of the old world. So we got to get rid of that. Family, he says it doesn't work anymore. Christianity, the Supreme Court ruled the United States a Christian nation twice in the late 1880s. But Obama comes along and says, well, you're not a Christian nation any longer. And unfortunately, it was true. It was right. He said he was telling the truth that time. And he said all the old standards don't work. So it was really a huge attack in that 7 minutes and 56 seconds on that day, like it was a curse that he was throwing over. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, like what Larry said, that it's a call to the new generation. You know, it's a out with the old, in with the new, and it's a speech to the graduates, to the young people, to the new generation, and it's basically, this is your world now, up for grabs, and this is your opportunity, you know, I mean, it's like, we can reshape history, we can reshape the earth as we know it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. The socialism, the communism has infiltrated our school systems for years. And so what they are doing is graduating basically young communists. And I think they're going to hear him. And I think, what's your take on the election? Let's say the Lord does not come back and it's next year or 2 years down the road yet. Do you think the Lord not intervening, that Trump's going to get reelected, or are we going to go full scale martial law, communist?
I don't know. Everything I watch, I mean, it's I'm watching so narrowly as far as where we are right now. I try not to get too far down the road as to wonder what would happen at the election. I mean, I had this call to look at all the signs of the coming of the Lord. It was like everything was about politics and the right and the left and the Democrats and Republicans and, you know, mm-hmm. looking at all the, you know, all the wars in between the groups, you know. But I have really not been watching politics per se as far as, you know, the sides to all
mm-hmm.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that there's the opportunity if Biden, you know, were to somehow get in and have the shadow running mate, and then he could somehow declared incapable or sick, you know, they could put him with dementia or something. And
Larry, what do you think?
Well, it's really a strange deal. Matter of fact, this would be a good time for me to bring on Barry Rothman. Did we lose Steve, by the way?
Steve, are you still there?
Am I? No, I'm still here.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Okay.
You want me to give this Rothman deal because it dovetails into what you just asked me.
Yeah.
Barry
absolutely.
Rothman. Yeah, Barry Rothman on May the 27th, 2020. Did a very unusual Torah code. It's a title Star Wars Preview. And there's two matrixes. And the first matrix has seven wordings in it. And it's number one, Space Force. Number two, Aliens. Number three, UFO. Number four, Musk. Number five, In the End of Days. Number six, For War. Number seven, Wuhan. And then in the second matrix, it's number one, Space Force. Number two, Trump. Number three, Mars. Number four, Wars. And basically, Rothman was saying that it appears, you know, in the end times that we're, you know, Trump is definitely there. It's involving also wars and a Space Force that, remember, Trump, even though he didn't actually. It was a secret Space Force, but he actually brought it into being under the U.S. Air Force type of structure, and now it's took over a lot of functions that we're not even aware of yet. But what's interesting is Rothman says, according to the code and as close as he watched, he says for the United States Space Force to survive, it must be kept by a Trump victory in November 2020. So what you asked me basically, Stuart, you was asking Steve about where this is going, and my feelings is this, you know, because we're not really sure which way this is going to go. You know, I personally believe that Trump is a type of Cyrus, and what's interesting is whether he's finished the work he was supposed to do or not, we don't really know. But
yes.
I look at it like you know, the latest poll, and I'm not a politician, but the latest poll indicates that the so many Americans, if the vote were called today, they would vote against Trump. That's not good because, and here's my opinion, and this kind of goes into what you said also, Stuart. You know, my opinion is this. If by chance God does not intervene, then where will we be? Will we, you know, if he does intervene, I wonder what that would be like. But if he doesn't intervene, I also wonder, would we just be thrust into what maybe so many Americans almost act like they want today, and that is total, complete communism?
Well, that's a good point. And I've said for a long time that I thought most of the American people are socialists, and they don't even know it. They don't realize it because they don't understand what socialism or communism really is. I don't think they understand what fascism is either. So, you know, we've got this kind of creature that the book of Revelation talks about, the feet of the bear, the body of the leopard, the head of the lion. It seems like they're borrowing from all these different powers, Germany, Russia, the bear, Fabian socialism from England, all brutal. So, yeah, it makes you wonder. Excuse me. What do you think, Steve? I know you believe in a pre-trip rapture, right? Hello? Huh. I think we lost
him
again.
Yeah.
Yep, dropped off. Well, we'll just have to wait.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to mention, Stuart, that while we're waiting on Steve to come back to us, you know, all of this right may be actually a moot point because we're so close, it appears, if a lot of the data is true in the background, we're so close to probably a skirmish or a war or regional war or maybe a world war involving China, which would actually pull everybody else into it anyway, that the election may be a moot point.
Well, I guess my take on what's going on in Minneapolis is just the beginning. The COVID-19, which is a total fake. Oh, here he is back again. Hopefully, anyway. Are you back? Hello? No. Dropped off again. Oh, he was on for a second, then he dropped right back off. Oh, well. Well, here he comes. Tell you what, folks. Hello? Are you there?
Hey, I'm here. I got twice cut off here.
Yeah, you're having a lot of phone trouble. Well, that's usual on this show, and I've often wondered if it's not deliberate on the part of certain parties that don't want what we're talking about said at all. I was asking, I'll get back to Larry and the codes, but I wanted to, you believe in a pre-trip rapture or kind of at-trip rapture?
Yeah, pre-tribulation would be, in my perspective, we need to define the term tribulation and great tribulation.
Yes.
Because I think we've been seeing a heightened tribulation for some time now. We're still here. So it's as far as it being a complete pre-trib, I don't see that. But I think we're coming up on the great tribulation and things are going to break out after the rapture. And so basically it's a mid-tribulation, pre-wrath, pre-great tribulation is what I see. I see it halfway. You know, Revelation talks about 42 months that are given
yes.
to the Antichrist, not 7 years. So that's midway between the 7 years and 3.5 years remaining of great tribulation after the rapture is what I see.
Okay. Well, that makes total sense. I've always thought that the bride of Christ really doesn't have a lot to do with Israel anyway. You know, that's for thy holy city and thy people. It doesn't have the church. The promises made to the church were heavenly promises, the return covenant in John. You know, I go to my father's house to build a place, and when that's finished and the father says, I have to come get my people, then I will do so. And if it weren't so, I would have told you. Now, the promises made to Israel are earthly promises. The Abrahamic and Davidic covenants are all of the earth. And they don't have anything to do with the heavenly part of this. So that being true, I have never been able to understand why the church would go through a massive period of bad times. What do you think, Larry? What's your take on that? It's always an interesting subject.
Well, I think that the Creator is pretty much going to do what he wants. That takes a lot of pressure off of me. But at the same, time, for anybody that hasn't watched this movie, and I think you can get it on Netflix and some of the Amazon, and you can stream it. You don't have to buy it. I bought it though. It's called Before the Wrath, and like Steve was saying, it's actually narrated by Kevin Sorbo, someone I really appreciate. And in that, you know, as I shared before, Before the Wrath, it's a DVD. It's Brett Miller Jr. also directing and producing, and it's one of the most incredible layouts of how it really was in the time of Jesus, and when he talked about that his father would give him the point in time to come back and get his bride. This lays out so incredibly well, because it's not really built on modern day perceptions. It's built on the original tradition in the days of Jesus that he was describing. It's incredible, absolutely incredible, and it shows the importance of how the son doesn't even know when he's coming after his bride. He's got to wait for the father to give him the word to go.
Yes, yeah. So, in your take here, Steve, are you still with us?
Yeah.
So you think we have maybe been in the tribulation, or at least the first part, for some time, and you're basing that on the revelation of who Obama is. Obviously, he's taking step by step by step, but it's very stealthy, isn't it? How he's coming out of the closet.
Yeah. Well, you know, if basically back in 2011, you know, he said to Medvedev from Russia that he'll have more ability to do things in his second term, and you know, he was at a nuclear summit there, and he just, you know, under an open mic, basically. Wasn't part of the speech, but it was said kind of in private, but it came out on an open mic. You know, I'll have more ability to manipulate things after my second, you know, once I'm in my second term. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the things that were put in place, the laws that were changed, Obamacare, and then legalizing gay marriage, and just the preparation, I mean, executive orders, and I mean, basically, we've come to a point right now where the Constitution has been put on the back burner. It's not even valid right now with everything that's happening with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there. You know, we can see right now how the entire world is under the beast system, because all of the nations are obeying orders from above. You know, I mean, there's somebody giving the orders, and all the nations are walking lock and step. So we can see how the global government has really already been put in place, even though they haven't come out and said, this is our one world leader. And I believe that that's, you know, it will be known who that is after the rapture or just before the rapture. I don't know. I mean, I can say, you know, we've shown who that's going to be, Barack Obama, but they haven't come out and made that announcement yet, you know. Now, I wanted to say a couple things about this space code that Larry was talking about, because I just saw something. Someone just sent this to me just before I came on with you guys. Now, we're watching tomorrow, May 30th, which is Pentecost, and you know, as it says in the book of Acts, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and so we have a 3-day window in Israel when the day of Pentecost had fully come, which really means kind of like the last, you know, before it's over, it's fully come. And then we've got the this rocket dragon that is going to be shot up, and it's the first. The interesting thing about this is that it's the first manned spacecraft from American soil in over a decade. It's been a long time since Americans from their own soil have sent people to the International Space Station from our own land. You know,
so is that 11 years?
I'm not sure exactly. I heard, you know, the story I read or the article I read was that this has been, it's the first manned spacecraft in about a decade.
Oh.
So it's planned for Pentecost. The name is the Dragon. The time is 3:22. But then I just read this article, and there was an explosion today of SpaceX Starship prototype blows up in a huge fireball. This happened today. SpaceX, Elon Musk. And let me read a little bit of the article.
Yes.
You guys can search this if you want. The people who are listening can search this. But it's really interesting how this ties in with those Bible quotes Leonard was talking about, because it's the fourth Starship. And we're talking about the Space Force. And this is the fourth Starship that has exploded from SpaceX. So here's the story. To realize its ambitious plans for sending up to 100 passengers to the Moon and Mars inside a massive Starship spacecraft, SpaceX is racing through prototypes. During its fifth static fire today, the fourth Starship prototype, called SN4, erupted in a gigantic fireball around 2:50 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday. Thanks to a live stream courtesy of NASA Spaceflight, you can watch the structure erupt into flames at SpaceX Boca Chica testing facility. So you can search this. The title of this article is Fireball Fury Breaking SpaceX Starship Prototype Blows Up in a Huge Fireball. So, I mean, we're watching tomorrow, the same company, SpaceX, is planning a manned mission to the International Space Station, and the title is The Dragon. And I don't think they're going to be very successful, not just this one mission. I'm not talking about the mission. I'm talking about the overall plan of Satan, you know, to do his, you know, one world takeover. You know, he's going to come down with great wrath, but his time is short. And, you know, when it's all said and done, Jesus is going to intervene, and he's going to put an end to the rule of Satan. And, you know, it's just, I can't believe why at this stage of the game they don't get that they're just never going to win, you know?
Well, they're going to try, I guess. The United Nations, I wanted to bring this in because it goes along, I think, with what Larry was talking about, that this is kind of a global operation. It says United Nations launches a website promoting new world order amidst the coronavirus pandemic, which we know is fake. Anyway, the United Nations has launched a website promoting the New World Order, essentially validating what conspiracy theorists have been saying for generations. The United Nations New World Order Project is a global high-level initiative founded in 2008. Isn't that interesting, with Obama coming out, when was it? 2008, 2009. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it says to advance a new economic paradigm, a new political order, and more broadly, a new world order for humankind, which achieves the UN global goals for sustainable development by 2030, and the happiness, well-being, and freedom of all on life by 2050. And it says, although the New World Order Project has supposedly been around in an official capacity since the time of Barack Hussein Obama assumed the U.S. presidency, they have rolled out their website during the coronavirus pandemic. And they quote from a prominent globalist on their page that tells exactly what that agenda is. And, of course, as you've mentioned, you can go to Agenda 21 or 50. You can go to the United Nations website, and you can get all that stuff. And yet the people are totally sound asleep. I produced a video documentary. It was called Unfriendly Fire, way back. And I interviewed a fellow who was a real estate farm and land broker who was pointing out that slowly but surely they're gobbling up all the food land, the food producing ground that they can get their hands on. And it's just amazing. I don't think a lot of people have ever heard of the Wildlands Project. And all of this came up through the bushes, but really took off under Obama. What made you suspect Obama, Steve?
What made me suspect Obama?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I received my call in 2012, and it was exactly 100 days before before his trip to Israel. It was during that time that I was on the radio with P.P. Simmons, Carl Gallup's Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually a commentator on their program and working with them and writing articles for P.P. Simmons. And it was during this time that I was watching this trip to Israel. And Mike Shoesmith at P.P. Simmons was watching this trip. And the interesting thing about Obama going to Israel on the day of the triumphal entry and
yes.
going on a donkey because he was a Democrat, right?
Yeah.
And their mascot is a donkey. So just the similarities and it was a 4-day trip going to Israel, and then he ended up the day after he signed the Unbreakable Alliance with Israel, he went to Petra on the 23rd of March. The next day he went to Petra, and the Petra is the sign of the tribulation. Tribulation
yep.
saints and fleeing into the wilderness. And it was really interesting as we look at all of that information. You know, when you see the abomination of desolation, according to the prophet Daniel, let those, you know, do not go back into the house. Let those, you know, flee into the wilderness. This is the time of the fleeing.
Yep.
And we just began watching, you know, all of these things that began happening, and the laws that were changing, all the cryptic sayings. You know, the Bible tells us the Antichrist is one who has dark sentences, and
mm-hmm.
you know, he just comes out with all these things. They show him as a Messiah before he came into office. They put him on Newsweek as the God of all things. They showed him on Newsweek as the first gay president, and then everything. What was it in 2017 or 2018? I can't remember when he said this, but in one of his speeches, he said, "We do not need a Messiah." You know. We do not need to wait for a Savior. We do not need a Messiah.
I remember that. Yes, he did. Meaning
and,
he was already here.
You know,
Larry.
Yeah, and
yeah, go ahead, Steve.
He showed himself as the leader. He showed himself as the leader of ISIS. He came out and said that they were the ones training ISIS. And it's like, well, who's this guy? Why did they give him a Nobel Peace Prize? Now he's in charge of this Assyrian army, and the Bible calls the Antichrist the Assyrian, and just all these things that don't add up. And then, you know, beyond everything else, he doesn't have a birth certificate. So.
Yeah. Larry.
Well, I just have to add to that, to what he's talking about, coincidences. Isn't it a coincidence that Obama also, under his watch, flew an entire plane full of money to Iran, to the mullahs, the Khomeini, to actually help Iran foment terror in the Middle East and also attempt to become a nuclear nation?
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
You know, the other thing that most people don't know, I have open here a page in my web browser called globalzero.org.
Mm.
Global Zero was formed in 2008. And there's 300 world leaders involved in this program. It's a program designed to eliminate nuclear weapons in our lifetime. Global Zero. Now, the term, okay, number one, the term for a explosion and the location of a detonation, especially in nuclear terms, is ground zero. Right?
Yes.
Ground zero. So there's a program named Global Zero. And this is to proliferate nuclear weapons. But the term connected to ground zero shows that the goal of this would be to bring desolation, which is the title of the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation.
Uh-huh.
When everything is culminated, that is going to be the goal of the Antichrist, the reason why Jesus said these days must be shortened, otherwise no flesh would be saved. So if you look into Global Zero, you will see that from 2008, Barack Obama is the number one man in charge of this program, and the reason why he received his Nobel Peace Prize in 2009.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we had that sacred spiral over there in Norway when he was over there. Was he receiving it at that point in person? I know he was awarded it before, but then he went over and actually received it. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was awarded it on October 9th, 2009, which was the Feast of Tabernacles. And then he received the award in Norway on December 9th, 2009, which was Hanukkah, the eve of Hanukkah. And it was at the exact same time that he was there that the spiral appeared over Oslo, Norway. And I see that as like the beginning of the portals opening and the end time deception that was going to be coming upon the world, starting with, basically the arrival of the Antichrist on the scene in 2008 and 2009.
Well, you know, what's interesting about the December 9th day is December 9, 1917, it was the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month when Allenby retook Jerusalem. So this is kind of interesting that that date would show up in Obama as well. And do you remember, he made a speech, and I can't remember, maybe it was one of the press deals that he often attended, and he made a speech, and he was mocking those about his birth certificate. And he played Lion King. as his birthday.
Yeah, this was at a press conference dinner. It was a press, White House press dinner in, I don't know what year, 2015, I think, or 2014. He said, I'm going to show my official birth video. It has never been seen before, and it was the Lion King that was born and worshipped by the masses of the animals.
Yes. So, I mean, you would take that then as another announcement. He's announcing who he is time after time after time, and still nobody sees it yet. Or very few see it for what it is.
Yeah, and Lion King was based out of Kenya. The whole story was based out of Kenya. So, and there is a Hawaii, Kenya.
Oh, really?
There is a town named Hawaii in Kenya, and it's right next to Devil's Gate Parkway or something like that, or Devil's Gate something.
Oh, really?
Look it up. There's a Hawaii. Yeah, so this is, you know, that's the Hawaii he was talking about when he said he was born in Hawaii. Hawaii, Kenya.
Yeah. Well, his grandmother said that she was in Kenya when he was born, and, of course, they shut her up right away. Then that sheriff, Larry knows his name. Go ahead, Larry.
Orpau. Yeah, Sheriff Orpau.
Now, he took a team, as I understand it, didn't he, to Hawaii to check that birth certificate out?
Well, if you'll remember, Stuart, Jerome Carsey from WorldNet Daily went over there first, and he got arrested. Man, they come down on him, and he barely got away with his life when he was looking into that. But then Opao took his investigators, and they found the Hawaiian birth certificate he was showing from the state of Hawaii was fraudulent.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then there was a lady who was involved in that mysteriously died. And then, of course, somebody found out that the Social Security number he was using was from a dead person. So, I don't know. It's kind of like the signs of the return of the Lord. I mean, how many different signs does the Lord have to give before it dawns on people, hey, maybe we really are getting close? It's kind of like that. How many signs do we have to have from Obama, from his statements, from his actions, from everything else, to more or less prove who he is and he has to come back? What do you think, Steve? Do you think he's going to come back after the rapture of the church and totally be revealed?
To those who can see already, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about a revealing, you know, the revealing of the man of sin before the day of the Lord. But then after the restrainer is removed, then he will be revealed, like, fully. And so I see it as a revealing, a spiritual revealing beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And after the rapture, then it's a full, the full manifestation. The full and complete unveiling manifestation of the man of sin, which will be, you know, Satan coming down to earth and taking over this host body that has been prepared for the Antichrist, you know. And so it's interesting that we're, you know, all of this gets to be like such a long, drawn-out story. When is it going to end? Why are we still talking about, I mean, he's still in the news. He just was on a national stage 2 weeks ago. It's not like we're trying to look for stuff to make things relevant. Things are still relevant. We need to continue to watch. But at the same time, it's like, when is all of this going to end? And I find it quite interesting that tomorrow the spaceship dragon, you know, the Book of Revelation talks about a red dragon.
Mm-hmm.
In the heavens, okay, it's not just like China and the year of the dragon or a parade on earth, because the sign of the dragon is a sign in the heavens. And so now we have a spaceship that's titled Dragon. It's going up. It's on Pentecost. The satanic number 322. And then from the perspective of the Christian and the significance of Pentecost, you know, and I think that that's what a lot of people overlook. When Jesus told us to watch, Jesus told us to fulfill the end, to fulfill the feast days, to remember the feast days, to celebrate the feast days, and to do this through all generations to understand the spiritual and prophetic significance of the appointed times of God. And
mm-hmm.
See, one thing about Pentecost is that Pentecost marks every dispensation. Dispensation means a change of focus or a change of age. Or
right.
A change of law since the beginning of time. Noah, I mean, if we make a list, it's incredible how many dispensations have changed at Pentecost. Noah received his call on Pentecost, and it was the Noah covenant that he received was on Pentecost. Moses received the law on Pentecost, and that was a change, taking us into the age of the law and the Torah.
Right.
Then we have the Davidic, the line of David, the Davidic age,
mm-hmm.
and the age of the kings. Even though Saul was the first king, the chosen first king was David. The Messiah comes through the line of David, and David
mm-hmm.
was born and died on Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
That's a change of, you know, it's a change of dispensation to the line of the kings. And then we have, at the end of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you have received power from on high. And the age of the church began on Pentecost. And this is interesting, as we're watching the line of David, or the line of Daniel, and the timeline, and the rise of the Antichrist, and we've gone all the way back to 1947, from the order to restore Jerusalem, 62 years, it's a covenant with many, that brings us to 2009, then we have the 1260, 1290, 1335 days, and the end of the 1335 days brings us again to Pentecost. And is this the marker of the end of the church age based on the 70 weeks of Israel, basically from 1950? I did a study this week about Israel being reborn in 1948, but in 1948, they were, number one, the denial of government formed. Then they went to war. They were still at war.
Mm-hmm.
They formed their government in 1949, but they did not end the war until July of 1949. And so the first year that Israel had a free Pentecost was 1950. They were fully formed, they had a fully formed government, and they were at peace with no war in 1950. So 1950 seems like a time where the government now was established, Israel's fully reborn, they're at peace, they're living in the land, and they had the law of return, which is 1950, where all the people worldwide, Jews worldwide, were free to return.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was safe now, they were at peace. 1950 really marked that, and then Daniel says 70 weeks are determined, and weeks in and of itself points us to Shavuot, which is the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost.
Yeah, so as Feast of Weeks definitely does seem to point to the 1260, 1290, 1335. So, you know, it's not a stretch at all that it would be pointing directly at Daniel's timeline. So if this is not only for Israel, but for the church in a different way, as you were saying, spiritual way. Most people, this would all slide by, wouldn't it? And the rapture would catch everybody by surprise if they really weren't watching.
Yeah, and this will all make total sense if the rapture happens tomorrow. And if the rapture doesn't happen tomorrow, it won't make any sense. Oh, man, I hope this is just over, because it's really getting bad. It's really getting bad. And where is this world going to go if the rapture doesn't take place and they start the mark of the beast and the world take over and we're still here? And what? I mean, where is it going to end?
Well, I guess, we know that the New World Order is. And, of course, we can't forget either what Obama signed on the One World Trade Building. We remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger. And WWW is 666. Obama has this thing written all over him, and yet for the most part, what I have gotten from people is, you guys are nuts. You're tinfoil hat conspiracy freaks. But I guess that's probably true, don't you think, Larry, that if people are, I don't know, denied just about everything, no.
Yeah, you're right, and I was thinking as y'all were talking, if you'll remember, you know, you're talking about this, ironically, tomorrow, if this launches, that this will be the dragon leaving the Earth trying to go into space. And oddly enough, if you'll remember, Barack Hussein Obama loved Game of Thrones. And as a matter of fact, Donald Trump loves Game of Thrones and has used it in his politics. And Game of Thrones basically is about a time that the dragons return. I don't know if y'all know that.
No.
But anyway, yeah. And I was also thinking, too, Stuart, as y'all were talking, how that for the last couple of years or so, you and I really have really zeroed in on the cosmos and the star signs and one sign after another. And as you've said, Stuart, so many signs you can't even keep up with them. There's so many. And what do they mean? And when really does the dispensation or the epoch or the age of grace end and the millennium begin? And I'm beginning to wonder almost, you know, because we know that we're in the season of that, but we don't know the day. And that really caught my attention when you're talking about tomorrow, because wouldn't it be strange if the dragon launches tomorrow and at the same time that's the moment that actually we go from the church age to the millennium?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I mean, that's what Steve's been driving at. And, you know, I guess one could say, well, we've been here before and we've had all the numbers. If nothing happens tomorrow, my next very suspicious date is Tubi Av, which falls on Barack Hussein Obama's birthday. Because Tubi Av is a feast that the Jewish rabbis are kind of mystified by, but really it's the picture of selecting out a bride. That's what it's about. They call it a Valentine's Day, but if you research Tubi Av, it's a whole lot more than just a Valentine's Day. That's when the young maidens go out, they dress themselves in white, they dance in the fields, and the Jewish males go out and select their bride. Well, isn't Jesus going to come back and select his bride? And what's very interesting to me is that... Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Well, yeah, together with that, I mean, we have those two signs. It's interesting to note that between Pentecost and Tubi Av, there's 66 days. And both of those days are days for weddings. So whether, you know, Pentecost was God's marriage covenant with Israel, and it was their guarantee you know, when the Holy Spirit was sent, is a guarantee, the seal of the promises being good, and Jesus is going to return for his bride at a later date, you know, at a later date, maybe Pentecost. And there's, I mean, the way it really has to go with Pentecost first and foremost. And,
yes.
Of course, if we go beyond that, we look at what's next. I kind of like to stick with one thing until we get past it, because there's just so much, you know, it's so easy to get onto the next thing, but why does it have to be the next thing? I mean, why can't it be just like right now? I mean, it's going to come up on the world as a snare.
Yep.
When people don't expect it. You know, the rapture has been prophesied for many, many years. It's imminent. It's coming. The rapture's coming. The rapture's coming. And the dreams and visions have increased. I mean, it's just incredible how full YouTube is with people who have dreams and visions of the rapture and how close it is and
mm-hmm.
any moment and stay ready. And then we get to a point where it's so close and it's like, well, I think it's going to, you know, but at some point it's going to happen. You know, it could happen tomorrow. It could happen tonight, you know. It could happen this weekend on what is Pentecost throughout the world. And then, of course, if it isn't, then we can look on to the next thing. But there's too much to watch right now to be concerned about what could be next.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, yeah, and the world's coming apart, and I think everybody's getting scared. I wanted to touch a little bit on what is going on in Minneapolis, because it appears like the revolution, the hot revolution, may have begun. There was a vision by, was it Dimitri Dudeman, Larry, that said that the revolution would start in the middle of the country? Right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, Minneapolis is sort of in the middle of the country, Minnesota. So what do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems kind of odd. Because this is spreading now throughout all of America. And not necessarily the fires. Now, they're... appears to be a curfew, but it'll be very curious what happens tonight and tomorrow in view of Pentecost, and also mm-hmm. Sunday. So what mm-hmm. do you think, Steve? Do you think all of this, you know, the COVID-19 may have not done what they thought it would do, so now they're implementing plan number two, riots everywhere. What do you think?
That's what they're saying. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Plandemic isn't working, so let's start the race riots. You know.
Yeah. Larry.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And oddly enough, talking about the dragon, some of the data that they're looking at behind this revolutionary movement, if you will, that's coming out of especially the Democrats and rhinos, the rebellion against Trump, it appears that China's behind a lot of this and financed it through Soros.
Yeah. Speaking about a dragon, Steve, did you know, I don't know how you vet such a thing, but Larry, wasn't there something about they found a literal carcass of a dragon?
Yeah, that was, I don't have that in front of me, I don't think, in my notes. I posted that a few days ago. They found what they believe to be a carcass of a dragon. I wanted to say is in an ice cave or something. I don't have that in front of me, but yeah, they're claiming that they do, and this thing had the ability from the carcass, it looked like, to actually breathe fire. And what's so interesting, guys, is the fact that today, suddenly today, and I sent this to you, Stuart, the sun, which is in a solar minimum, with no sunspots, has literally begun to erupt with solar flares, and they're worried about the next 2 or 3 days because it'll be turning to face Earth.
So not only do we have a Dragon spacecraft lifting off, I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. Very, very covert signs that are going on all over. Then they find a Dragon, and that was only a couple days ago. They announced that, a literal Dragon. They find a body of it. What's your take on that? Steve, did you hear about that, or did you know about that?
No, I didn't hear about the Dragon being found. I know that there was a meteor that came down in China on October 11th of 2019. It was 7 days before Event 201, and there was news within the report of the meteor that it had brought a pandemic, or it had brought some type of a virus with it. And the report came out on the meteor that fell. It actually hit. It landed in China. It wasn't just a fireball over the Earth. It was a meteor that came and landed in China, really close to Wuhan. And the report came out 7 days before the Event 201 that this meteor was bringing a virus.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess one could say more signs. I wanted to get a little bit into this, Larry. I want to know what you think, because you were a police officer for years. They said that the cop that killed George Floyd vanished from his house a day or two ago.
I think he has been arrested.
He has been arrested. He's in jail.
That's what they're telling us, anyway.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that. I really don't know, but that's just what Fox is reporting.
Yeah. So, anyway, there was an agent provocateur that was smashing windows with a hammer. And they some of the people that were there kind of got into a tussle with him. It turns out that he is actually a St. Paul police officer. So there's more and more info coming out that perhaps this is a false flag event. And this is... maybe this is something to do with the elections, because Antifa is present, Black Lives Matter is present. In fact, some of the residents over there told these people, you get out of here, you're not welcome here. And they're the ones that are provoking all of the fires, and 170 small businesses have been burned. And this is catching fire all over the United States. I guess my question is, as a police officer, and you're familiar with crime, do you think this is the start of a big revolution that's going to turn south real quick? What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to depend on tonight what occurs. They've got a curfew going, but you know, I've been in crowds, and as I've said before, Stuart, you know, I've told you that the domestic or the emotion, when people go into emotion phase, there's no, actual thinking at all, you know, available anymore. I mean, they're beyond thinking. There's no dialogue. And if this thing's going to take off, and it has, you know, somebody's trying to push this forward because it's went into so many cities. So suddenly, overnight, in 24 hours, you've got major cities across this whole country that's having these demonstrations. Matter of fact, they put lockdown on the White House a while ago. I don't know if y'all know it, in Washington, because of a protest that erupted outside the White House.
So if it's being pushed, then it may move on forward whether this guy's in jail or not. And that would be the dangerous part. But on the other hand, if the American people realize that there's more to this than meets the eye, common sense could kick in. But I don't know which way it'll go.
Yeah, somebody sent me this list, and I know you talked, we talked about it, but I wanted to get into it a little bit. Military intelligence from various nations have come to the conclusion China's about to make four large military moves: a land invasion of northeastern India to forcibly settle decades-long border disputes. And, of course, they pumped in a bunch of troops, and now they're, what, 35, 40, 50 miles inside the border. Give a green light to Pakistan to invade northwestern India and forcibly take the area known as the Jammu and Kashmir areas that have been long disputed. Number three, large military surge in Hong Kong, and then a brutal and a rapid attack and invasion of Taiwan. If we see that, we've got to be right on the edge of horrific trouble. What's your take? Steve, what's your take on that?
I'm not following too closely China right now. As I'm watching, as we're talking here, I see that they just updated Drudge Reports. Just to confirm a couple of things here. The main title right now is America Plunges into Crisis, White House Lockdown, and then some sub-headlines: Unrest in Atlanta, CNN Center Vandalized, Riots in Houston, Minneapolis-St. Paul under mandatory curfews, protests spread across the nation, we're going to start coming to the suburbs, Customs and Border Protection flying predator drones overhead. Remember when Obama said that he would, two words he had for everybody, predator
yep.
drones, you will never see them coming.
That's what he said.
You know, it's all happening. They're ready to go. I mean, they are prepared if they want to bring, their order out of this chaos. They have the perfect storm that has been prepared. Now, what did you guys think about the Trump declaration of pulling out of the World Health Organization?
Larry, we only got a couple minutes left. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know that any part of the UN has America's interest involved, so that's not a problem with me.
Yeah, I mean, well, the CDC, the WHO, UN, China, Fauci, Burks, Bill Gates, all of them are in cahoots. And this is clearly a communist insurgency that we're watching. It's just coming in under a different name. But, yeah, I think you're right, Steve. I think we're in a lot of trouble. And America's going to go down. And, of course, the Bible prophets say that Babylon bites the dust. So I guess that's what we're watching. Any last words?
Stuart, go ahead.
I was just
going to mention that I heard today on Fox that it appears Mexico is going to default. And remember, Wilkerson talked about when Mexico defaulted.
Yep. I don't know if you know that, Steve, but when Mexico defaults, David Wilkerson had a vision, and he said when you see Mexican default, you have 2 weeks to get all your money out of the banks in America. Anyway, I guess we have to close her down. I set it up for an hour and a half. Probably should have done two. But it's been a wonderful show, and thanks, Steve. And if anything pops up, let me know if we're still around, and we may not be around. We may be all gone. But thanks a lot.
We're all in agreement.
Yes.
I think we're all in agreement that we have reached a key weekend with the revolution that could be starting right now. Pentecost, change of administration, a change of what was the word I used? Change of age, you know, the dispensation.
Yeah.
And is this the time for the new law, the new world order to come in, just as Jesus brought his law and the Holy Spirit and the Torah? Is this the time for the age, the change to the new dispensation? So we're watching this weekend, and I'll look up this Mexico default information. That sounds interesting.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. Appreciate it. Good night, everyone.
Okay, if we're here...